God's one true church in this end time has received two incredible messages from Jesus Christ himself. Learn about the last two eras of God's church and how each one has received a different message. The change in message from the sixth era to the seventh is possibly the most inspiring truth in your Bible. Understand what this change means for your life. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. There are seven church eras from the first coming of Jesus Christ to his second coming, and that's covered in Revelation 2 and 3, chapters 2 and 3. Also, it's covered very much in detail in our new booklet. Well, it's not quite so new as some of the others, but The True History of the True Church. And if you look at the last two eras of that of the church, in the sixth and seventh eras, they are for this end time. And that sixth era has one message there in Revelation that Christ gives to it, and it's called the Key of David. Now, I think if you were to look at that, really the theme of that era, you would find that a lot of people in the world's Christianity don't really talk about that very much, at least as far as I know. I don't hear much about that at all, and they often think about it as a kind of a strange message. And yet, it is the very message that Christ gave, the only one, to that sixth era in Revelation 3 in verse 7. So how do you explain that? Now, if you look at the seventh era, there's another subject there, the key of the house of David. And it, in a way, I think it's more strange than the one in the sixth era. The key of the house of David, and I want to read you a comment that it makes in that context. And this is all directly related to the sixth era. Notice what it says, though. Talking about a man, a type of Eliakim, shall be for a glorious throne. He shall be for a glorious throne. Then it goes on to say, his family shall rise with him. And that's talking spiritually, of course. And that's in the last era of God's church. And it, the last end, it's called in the Bible. Now, that's a very strange statement. And it's he is going to rise for a glorious throne, and his family, or the spiritual church, is going to rise with him and be royalty around that throne. That's an amazing statement. But how many people understand it? And you won't find even a commentary that truly understands that. Why is that? Well, God has to reveal it, that's for sure. But I want to look today at God's two end time messages to those two eras. And we'll make sure that they're no longer strange if we heed what it says here in God's Word. Notice verse 7 of Revelation 3. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he that is holy and he that is true, that's Christ, and he has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. So here is Christ giving a big open door for this message to be proclaimed to all the world. You can look at Matthew 24 and verse 14, and it's preached around the world as a witness in this very end time. Well, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to, should mean to all of us? What is the real meaning here? Well, the key of David is the only message that Christ gave this sixth era. Now, it's a powerful message, and it's given only to God's very elect, and it is the massive hope for this world, the only hope for this world. And we need to understand it. The key of David is right at the very heart of the gospel that Christ talked about repeatedly. when he was on this earth. So we can't afford to not understand this message. Verse 8 says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. God keeps repeating that this is an open door, and there isn't any man that can shut it. That's how important this message is. And how can we afford to misunderstand that? Christ said he was going to open a door for that powerful message, and he certainly did to a man by the name of Herbert W. Armstrong, who followed and taught that Key of David message. And his book on the United States and Britain in Prophecy explains a lot of that, and all of our literature, of course, is free. I have written a New Throne of David booklet, that's the title of it, and it explains all of this to you. And there are some other booklets we're going to offer you and information we'll give you to make sure that you understand this if you really want to understand it. And I tell you, there's just nothing like it in your Bible. There's nothing to compare to it. It is the heart of the very gospel. Notice Luke 1 and verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. A son, this is about family. That's what I mentioned before. The family rises up with this man. So Christ was a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of the Father, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. There is the Father gives this throne of David to Jesus Christ, and he's going to sit on that throne of David forever. Now, this has to be super special. Think about that. Where is that throne? We must know it's on this earth, and Jesus Christ is not going to return to a non-extant throne. He's going to return to a throne that's on this earth, and it has something to do with God's own church that is really, truly special. Think about how astounding this subject is. This is in the first chapter of Luke, who preached the gospel to this world and wrote about it in his book in the New Testament. That gospel, the good news of the coming kingdom or family of God. That's right there in the very first chapter of Luke, and it is a Key of David message. Just like it mentioned in Revelation 3 and verse 7, and I'll tell you, if you understand this and the way the Bible talks about it, being there forever, Christ sitting on that throne forever, it is a universe-shaking message. It is just phenomenal and almost beyond words to describe. It's so wonderful, and it's so full of hope. Now, just to give you a little information about something related to this, we have helped Dr. Alat Mazar in Jerusalem dig at David's palace. That's really her major find in Jerusalem. And we certainly are honored to be a part of that, because here is the palace of David. What's that all about? Well, it's where David dwelled. It's where the king was. And we need to understand that. I mean, it's critical, because it's at the heart of everything that's important. And we believe that David's palace really is the greatest discovery in archaeology in hundreds of years. Maybe others would disagree with that, but if you look at the Bible, the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, it builds that whole scepter promise around the promise that God made to David about sustaining that throne from his time right on down to the second coming of Jesus Christ. You can read about that in Genesis 49 and verse 10, or 2 Samuel 7 verses 12 and 13. And in Isaiah 9, 7, it tells you there where he's going to sit on that throne forever. The promise just goes on and on and on. If you look at Jesus Christ when he was on this earth physically, he too was a descendant of David. And he has to be a descendant of David to sit on that throne. Christ, of course, was a Jew. David's palace just really embodies all the hope of for this world. And look at how Christ emphasizes it over and over and over in the New Testament and in the Old, or the Hebrew Bible, as the Jews would call it. It's a powerful message. Notice verse 33 of Luke 1, it says, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Imagine that. It's going to go on forever. There is just no end to this awesome promise. This is the hope of the world. This is at the heart of everything we need to understand in the Bible. And yet so few understand it and don't really seem to want to understand in many cases. But this is the last era of God's church I'll talk to you about now for a moment. Let's look at Isaiah 22 and verse 2. I'll start there just to show you how this is looked at spiritually. "You that are full of stirs and a tumultuous city, a joyous city, your slain men are not slain with a sword, nor dead in battle." Well, now, what is that about? Well, it's saying, look, we have to look at this spiritually. People are being slain spiritually, but they're still living physically in most cases. But they are dead spiritually, or they're dying spiritually. And the Isaiah booklet will explain that more to you. In verse 20, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day, this is always referring to the end time that we live in right now. "In that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah." Verse 21, "And I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your girdle, and I will commit your government into his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah." So here is a man that's given the government of God, and he is a type of Eliakim. And then verse 22 it says, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder." See, this is the key of the house of David. In Revelation 3 and verse 7, the sixth era was the key of David, but now it gets more specific. It talks about the key of the house of David, and this is like the theme of this seventh and last era of God's true church. "And I will lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open." Here in verse 22, we have even a stronger statement about this door that's going to be open for that great message. And God says he the leader of this key of the house of David, that's his responsibility, is to declare that message that God has given about the key of the house of David. Or it one definition is the key of the palace of David. Well, what is this all about? First, God gives us the sixth era about the key of David, and then he goes on to give us the seventh era and gets very specific about what God is going to give in that message of the seventh era of God's church. There is prophecy in that those chapters of Revelation 2 and 3. That's the whole book's about prophecy. And it says that we have those seven eras, 1, 2, 3, 4, right on down. But the last two are the sixth and seventh eras. And as I said, the one definition of the key of the house of David is the palace instead of the house. Eliakim, anciently, was the one that took care of David's palace under King Hezekiah. But now, God says he's going to have even a more powerful opening of doors, it appears to me, because God insists that we get this message out It's so critical to this world, and it is our only hope. That's why he wants us to get it out to the world. There's nothing more important than this message. And then verse 23, notice what it says. This is just an astounding statement. Verse 23, "And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house." Well, what do you know? He's going to be for a glorious throne. Well, which throne is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the throne of David, of course. The same one we talked about earlier in Luke and in Revelation. This is the seventh head. It gets more specific, and now something absolutely stunning is happening. That throne is being brought into the very church of the living God. That is a first in all the church eras. It never happened in any other church era, but it's happening and has happened in this last church era. And God gives this throne to his own church. Why? Well, because they have to begin to prepare, and this all are for the second coming, and it transitions right into that second coming. This is a wonderfully inspiring message. It's a marvelous work and a wonder, as Isaiah says. That's how precious it is. And it says, this man shall be for a glorious throne. And then it says, well, all of his supporters and all of the family in that church will rise up with him, and they will all be God's leading royalty in this world, though the world doesn't know that and doesn't acknowledge that at all. But let me read verse 23 in the Moffat translation. Here's what it says. "And through him shall his family rise to honor." See, well, they're going to rise to honor because they're now supporters of the very throne of David, the throne that Jesus Christ is going to sit on forever. What kind of an honor is that? What kind of majesty and royalty is that? It's going to be royalty that's going to share the very throne with Jesus Christ, that very throne of David. What a wonderful, wonderful message this is. See, there is a new throne of David, and God also, again, if you understand this, there's a lot about this, that a little history that we need to understand, but with that new throne booklet, we'll explain this in detail. If you don't have it, please write it. I think it's the most inspiring booklet we've ever written, and it's a big booklet. It's a big one, but here is he's talking about this man on a glorious throne. He'll sit on David's throne. And his family, the church, will be right there with him. You have to look at this spiritually. The royal family of David's throne is what he's talking about. And he's giving all this honor to those people who will come out and declare this message through that open door. Deliver this message to this world, the whole world. Because it is for the world, and it's going to solve all the problems we see out there today. Every single one of them. That is hope that we need to have, especially in this very evil and ugly world. And the time of Jesus Christ's imminent return is very, very close. We must not forget that. We need to understand that. If you look at the Palace of David, that key of the house of David is called the palace in the Moffat translation. It reads this way, "I will lay on his shoulders," this Eliakim type, "duties of the Davidic palace." See, he's going to be there and have duties in that very palace spiritually that houses David's throne. I mean a real stone. If you know anything about the stone of destiny, it's always been a symbol of Christ and the throne of David. And now God has shown us that there is a new stone and a new throne. And you can prove it from your Bible. This booklet on the new throne of David will show you that very clearly. You can prove every bit of this. It's in your Bible. And you don't have to rely upon men. And God says, well, now if you trust men, you're going to be cursed. So we need to understand this now. Mr. Armstrong wrote about that in his booklet on the United States and Britain in prophecy. And there is a new stone that we need to understand. Let me just go back and read a little more. We'll try to read all of this together so that you will hopefully understand it more clearly. In Isaiah 22, I'll just go back to verse 20 and we'll read it all together. And I think that will make it a little more clear to your mind. See, what are the duties of the Davidic palace? What duties are we supposed to perform? Well, we're supposed to live according to what Christ says, live by every word of God, and have an honor and respect Him and His throne that He's going to sit on forever. And He says, now if you do that, I'll make you my bride, and you can share that throne with me for all eternity right there in headquarters at Jerusalem and never go anymore out, the Bible says. In Revelation 3, verses 12 and 13, in those verses. But notice, again, just what it says here in Isaiah 22. It says in verse 21, and I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your girdle, and I will commit your government into his hand. You have to have the very government of God to make all of this happen. And let me just go on down to verse 22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. See, God keeps repeating that. There's a great message that has to go through that open door. First, there's an open door, and then He gives you this message to go along with that. There is an awe-inspiring message that God wants us to deliver to this world. Notice verse 23, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. He shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And then verse 24, and they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house. And it talks about then the offspring and the issue. That offspring, it means the sons of God. And the issue, the second one, is about those that have rejected God. 50% of those Laodiceans of God's own church reject Him, and God says they are just an issue, and one of the definitions of that is excrement. That's what God thinks about people who reject this marvelous message that's going to bring glory and honor to the entire world. There's nothing to compare with it in your Bible. This is just the most awesome glory that you can imagine. So it's all about family, and it's all about understanding this message and getting it out to the world. Here we have, you see, we have to have an open door. And God says, if you obey me and you keep this message and you honor this message, I will open a door. And I'll give you the power to open doors and shut doors if you obey this message and prepare yourself and get ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19 and verse 7, His wife has made herself ready. Gotten ready for what? Ready to marry Jesus Christ and share the very throne of David for all eternity. That's what He's talking about. That's what He wants us to understand. And in the last verse here in this chapter talks about in that day, again, repeating that this is for the end time, the time we're living in right now. In that day, all this is going to come to pass. Christ warns us. He wants us to see that and avoid all these horrific crises that are building in this world. But will we listen? Will we really strive to grasp and comprehend this and understand it and help God, well, let Him deliver His message through us And he says that is going to give us a reward that we can't even imagine. It's going to have to stretch your imagination to even understand what God is about to give those people who deliver this wonderful message. There's just nothing on this earth like it. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
God's one true church in this end time has received two incredible messages from Jesus Christ himself. Learn about the last two eras of God's church and how each one has received a different message. The change in message from the sixth era to the seventh is possibly the most inspiring truth in your Bible. Understand what this change means for your life. When Jesus Christ founded the New Testament church, he said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. He prophesied of seven successive eras it would undergo before his second coming, and even foretold the predominant character of each. History shows that God's true church, though it has gone largely unnoticed, has survived through the 20 centuries since that time, fulfilling Christ's prophecies in specific detail. Now, on the cusp of Christ's return, this dramatic and miraculous story can be fully told. Request Gerald Flurry's free book, The True History of God's True Church, to see God's guiding hand in all seven church eras. Understand the difference between God's two end-time messages. This difference will have an astounding impact on every person on earth. The prophet Isaiah had a powerful vision for God's rebellious church, the nations of Israel, and even the whole world. Request Gerald Flurry's free booklet, Isaiah's End Time Vision, to learn the ultimate outcome of God's two end time messages. God's church warns the world today, just before the fulfillment of the most beautiful vision in the Bible. Isaiah's vision pictures a beautiful and peaceful earth, vastly different from the violent world of today. You will also receive a copy of our free reprint article, Archaeology Thunders, Behold Your God. God's work today is involved in archaeological excavations in Jerusalem. Discover why these projects are so important to the church's commission. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request The True History of God's True Church, Isaiah's End Time Vision, and Archaeology Thunders, Behold Your God. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.